As you can tell, we're a little short on people this morning. Rabbi John, I am happy to report, if you hadn't already heard, that Rabbi John's grandson's back surgery for his scoliosis was very successful, and so they are praising the Lord for that. We are rejoicing with them in the success of that, and so they are with their grandson right now. Their grandson, who's named after Rabbi John, their grandson John. And so we rejoice with them in that, and they should be back with us next week. Lord willing, they'll be back with us next week for our first Shabbat of the new year. The other announcement I wanted to make is, again, we do not have Shabbat school this morning because of folks being away or on quarantine. And so just make that known to you, as well as I also want to prepare you in that this morning we will have some opportunities for you to share. So I'm going to get a mic here ready, and I'm going to set it up here. I'm just going to set it right here. It's not going to be on, but I'm going to set it right here. And I was also just reminded by my son that I'm going to make sure I mention that it is Seth Swearingen's birthday this morning and Zach Williams' birthday this morning. So two birthdays in this small crowd. How do you get that? But happy birthday, gentlemen. It's wonderful to be part of your lives. Last but not least, let you know that we do have a tzedakah box in the back. Those who are able to give, we appreciate your giving. If you're watching us online, you can give and donate towards our ministry via our PayPal link on our website. So let's get started. We're going to talk about 2020 this year. The title of my message is, What Has God Taught You About Himself This Year? What has God taught you about himself this year? Because 2020 has been a year, to say the least. What started out as a fairly normal year has turned out to be, in the words of one local author, the stupidest year, yet the most important. Indeed, you may choose your own adjectives to insert there, but you can't deny that this year has been one of the most pivotal years in your entire life. I'm confident I can say that regardless of your age, that this has been one of the most pivotal years of your life. You know, I want to think about some notable events this year. Some of these you might have forgotten about in light of more recent events, but I want to remind us of some of the events of this year, and many of these are quite sobering, in fact. So let's get the big one out of the way first. COVID-19. It emerged in Wuhan, China, spread around the globe, even to Antarctica this month, to more than 20 million people and 750,000 deaths so far. With it came lockdowns and restrictions, face masks, toilet paper shortages, Zoom meetings, canceled events such as the Olympics, rampant conspiracy theories, global recessions with job losses and government aid packages, and it goes on. COVID-19 dominated 2020. Outside of that, though, in the world of government and politics, the world's worst humanitarian crisis continued in Yemen, now going on 5 years. But we kind of forgot about it because of COVID. Brexit happened. Brexit, Britain leaving or exiting the European Union. England is no longer a member of the European Union. Did you guys remember that President Trump was impeached this year and acquitted? You remember when the U.S. military used a drone to kill an Iranian general and Iran responded with missile strikes on U.S. bases in Iraq, and then World War III started trending on social media? There were political protests across Eastern Europe, particularly in Belarus, leading up to their 2020 presidential elections. I'm sure you guys remember George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, as they suffered police-related deaths and their wave of protests and riots around the world, making various demands towards ending police brutality and racial injustice. Of course, in the U.S., the 2020 presidential election was also the dominant storyline aside from COVID, where Joe Biden clinched the Democratic Party nomination and ultimately has been declared the winner of the presidential election, though President Trump continues to protest the results. And in addition to that, Joe Biden's running mate, Kamala Harris, became the first woman this year to be the vice president-elect. Outside of the U.S., Boko Haram continued terrorizing Nigeria. In northern Nigeria, even this month, they kidnapped hundreds of school children. They've killed 2,200 Christians this year, six per day, just for the name of Yeshua in Nigeria by itself, not to mention persecution elsewhere around the world. Ethiopia continues to experience rival ethnic groups fighting with each other. They've displaced almost 1 million people in the Tigray province in northern Ethiopia. The Israeli governing coalition dissolved just last week, I think, for the fourth time, or setting up the fourth set of elections in the last 2 years. But good news has happened with Israel. Four Muslim countries have declared in peace with Israel: United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Sudan, and Morocco. That happened in 2020. They're even talking about a fifth one early next year. You know, every year there are natural disasters. 2020 was no different. Australia started out the year totally on fire. 47 million acres were burned. 1 billion animals died. Thousands of people were displaced, nearly 500 of which died. Wildfires erupted on the U.S. West Coast and in Colorado, burning millions of acres. You probably noticed it here because our air was a little bit, not as breathable for part of the summer this year. In 2020, there was a hurricane season like no other. There were 30 named storms, 13 hurricanes. Hurricane Laura killed 77 people across the Dominican Republic and Haiti and the U.S. And then there were the two back-to-back hurricanes that hit Central America. They're still suffering from them. Over 150 people have died so far. Bangladesh and India got hit by Cyclone Amphan, where that was a Category 5 storm, and 85 people were killed, and 42 people died in Typhoon Vamco in the Philippines. I mean, some of these you don't even hear about here in the U.S. news. The Philippines had an eruption from one of their most active volcanoes, Volcano Taal, which killed 39 people. We had earthquakes this year. There were 45 major earthquakes, 45 over 6 on the Richter scale. There were, I think, 3 over 7 in Jamaica and Russia and Turkey. One of the 6.8 earthquakes in Turkey killed 42 people, and then a 7.0 earthquake in Turkey later killed 117 people. It got kind of hot this year, too. Phoenix, Arizona had a record 144 days over 100 degrees this year. And the world's hottest temperature since 1913 occurred in Death Valley, California, where it reached 130 degrees in mid-August. It also was kind of wet in some places. You guys remember when the dam broke in Michigan and over 10,000 people had to be evacuated to avoid disaster there? Then Jakarta, Indonesia experienced the heaviest rains it had experienced in over 20 years. They lost 66 people to flash floods. Similarly, northern Afghanistan experienced flash flooding that killed over 150 people. Some of these you don't even hear about in the news. You might have heard about the desert locusts, though, in Africa, East Africa, the Middle East, and India, destroyed many millions of acres of crops. It's not all politics, though. It's not all natural disasters, though. A lot of famous people dying make the news, right? So early in the year, we lost basketball star Kobe Bryant and his daughter, Gianna. We lost actors like Chadwick Boseman and Sean Connery and Kirk Douglas. We lost musicians like Little Richard and Charlie Pride and Kenny Rogers and Eddie Van Halen. Civil rights leader John Lewis, Jewish Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away. We lost Jeopardy host Alex Trebek. One person I've always followed, military test pilot Chuck Yeager. You might not even know of him, but he passed away this year. Christian apologetics author and speaker Avi Zacharias passed away this year, as did J.I. Packer, the Christian theologian, passed away this year. There was that explosion in Beirut. You guys remember that? That massive explosion that killed, what was it, like 190 people in Beirut, injuring thousands of others. And you guys probably also remember the murder hornets, right? I'm not sure what happened with them. I don't think they've become a big deal yet, but they were like going to be the next biggest thing after COVID. You know, a lot of that's pretty sobering. A lot of that's pretty negative. You know, some good things happened too, though. Right? The Chiefs won the Super Bowl for the first time in 50 years. So if you're a Chiefs fan, that's kind of cool. You know, a lot of people were really good to each other this year, too. The pandemic brought about a lot of goodness, too, in people. People coming together and helping each other out. There was a Utah brewery that paid off an entire elementary school's lunch debt. That's pretty cool. There was a woman in New York City who got hit by a car. The car was pinned on top of her. Oh, people from the sidewalks rushed together, picked up the car, pulled her out, and put the car back down. And then they walked away. They were just like, that's my job. They did their job. There were two Pennsylvania dads who started a bake-off, and it ended up that it led them to donating 15,000 cookies to essential workers. Just two Pennsylvania dads, normal dads. There was a former NFL wide receiver, Phillip Blanks, who rushed to the aid of a family that was trapped in a burning apartment building, and he caught their three-year-old as he fell from the balcony. That's pretty cool that he did that. There was an Air Force veteran who bought a farm in North Carolina, and he turned it into a healing farm to aid other veterans and help them feel less isolated and help them feel less alone as they readjust to civilian life when they're returning from combat missions. That's awesome. You know, in the wake of the COVID pandemic, distilleries, they stopped making alcohol. Well, not really, but they were converting that to making hand sanitizer. We even have some here in the synagogue, some distillery-made hand sanitizer. There were automobile and aviation companies, just like Spirit, who started making ventilators. You guys know Spirit across town? They made thousands and thousands of ventilators. They just started making ventilators with another company. And we're doing it right here in Wichita. Made many thousands of ventilators. There were homebound people that were making face masks and giving them away or selling them online. And then we saw the most concerted and rapid effort to create an effective vaccine, with various forms being approved around the world, including two that have so far been approved in the U.S., So a lot of good has come. Speaking of science and medicine and science, did you know that China and the U.S. both launched missions to Mars this year? And China landed a spacecraft on the moon to retrieve soil samples, rock samples, and Japan landed one on an asteroid to retrieve soil samples and rock samples. There were two crewed manned missions launched by SpaceX to the International Space Station this year, which were the first launches from American soil since the space shuttle era. That's pretty cool. And SpaceX also launched a satellite service to provide internet to underserved areas. Did you hear about the medical team in Nigeria that started out the year? 78 people. Medical personnel people came together to separate conjoined twins in Nigeria this year, and they were released from the hospital to go as separated twins now. There was a college student, now this is really important, a college student invented a 3D printer for chocolate. So that's a big deal this year. Didn't know if you knew that one there. There was a baby that was born from a 27-year-old embryo. This is almost like tabloid cover stuff. A baby was born from a 27-year-old frozen embryo. And if you're a diver, you can go to Greece now and dive and explore a 2,400-year-old shipwreck at their newly opened underwater museum that they opened. and explore a 2,400-year-old shipwreck. And then, of course, just last week, right, we saw what some have termed the Christmas star, right? Jupiter and Saturn coming close together. You could see them close by, closer than they've been in roughly 800 years. Pretty cool. There's some other lighter news, too. There was a woman who received her class ring back, or her husband's class ring, I should say, her late husband's class ring. It had been lost for, get this, for 47 years. He lost it in Portland, Oregon. It was found in a forest in Finland. She got it back this year, her husband's class ring. Did you know there was a 12-year-old composer for the New York Philharmonic? 12 years old this year. One of the youngest ever. And then on the older end of things, there was a 74-year-old Florida man who wrestled an alligator to save his puppy, and he didn't even lose his cigar in the process. Did not even lose it. That's right. That's 2020 right there. Well, closer to home, life continued here in Wichita too, right? Wichita got a new baseball team, the Wind Surge. They went from a AAA team affiliate of the Miami Marlins to a AA affiliate of the Minnesota Twins without ever even playing a game in their new stadium. There was a political scandal in Wichita this year. There were three Republican local officials that were uncovered with a falsely slandered issue with the Wichita mayor. And that's still ongoing. Wichita experienced some of the racial injustice protests this year, but certainly on a much smaller scale than what happened in places like Minneapolis. Wichita experienced some earthquakes this year, especially recently. If you were here last Shabbat, you felt them, probably, because it happened during the service last Shabbat. And though they were on a much smaller scale than other places around the world, Wichita experienced a lot of economic shutdowns as major employers like Textron and Spirit furloughed or laid off thousands of workers. And Wichita dealt with COVID restrictions, still dealing with COVID restrictions, right? Though not as severe as some of the complete lockdowns that have happened in some places of the world. Even Remnant of Israel, we had to go virtual this year for a while. And it even happened for Passover, for the first and hopefully the last time ever that we have a virtual Passover. And Wichita hospitals, too, have been experiencing a lot of issues with COVID, having their ICUs at max capacity very recently. You know, right here at Remnant, things have been happening, too. You know, Remnant, if you remember this, in early March, we had a community prayer time right here in this room. We joined with congregations across Plainview, and they came here, and we prayed for the whole community around here. This was on, I think, like March 8th of this year. And that was an incredible event. I loved it. And then Remnant lost some people that were dear to our hearts. We mentioned these in the Kaddish already. All right? Anna Mae Cruz. We lost her this year. We lost Matthew Prosper. Ed Partridge, and very recently Linda Neal. We lost Paul Aspen's mother Liz that was mentioned this morning, as well as Annette's mother Annie. Some of these we didn't know very as well as others, but they're still near and dear to many of our hearts and caused a lot of grief and mourning amongst our members. But we celebrated new life too. Hadassah Ruth was born this year. There is pregnancies amongst members of our congregation right now. Gabby Mayan is expecting, as well as Caitlin and several others as well. We have other things that have happened this year. Remnant joined Tikkun America. To join Tikkun America, a coalition of congregations to help us connect to Israel better, to join to the greater Messianic community, to provide better accountability and structure to our leadership team here. And then we also celebrated, speaking of our leadership, we celebrated Myron Ratzliff's 12 years of service as an elder here at Remnant of Israel. As he, retired from being an elder. We celebrated his amazing service to the congregation. And then we ordained two new elders, Joe George, who's out in the lobby right there. I can kind of see him through the door there. And Zach Williams right here. We celebrated that by bringing on two new elders to the congregation, and their transition into the eldership has been really wonderful and smooth so far. You know, the characteristic of all these things that bind us together here is that these events happened to us. They're about ourselves. They happen to us as people, okay? And it's normal and it's easy for us to focus on the events and the circumstances in our lives that impact us. Yet, our short lives are not intended to be self-focused. Okay? Our short lives are not intended to be self-focused. Our lives are, as God has called us in our lives, they're to be God-focused lives. Our lives are to be focused on a God-focused life in which the situations in life direct us to Him. Okay? They don't direct us to us. They direct us to Him, that we are looking to Him to give Him praise, to give Him adoration, even in our difficult circumstances. It's like Doreen was sharing in her testimony already. In her difficult circumstances this summer, and as she turned around and focused on knowing God's goodness in her life. We praise Him. We give Him adoration, whether we're in times of help or we turning to Him in a time of need in our life. You know, start off with, when we think about what has God been doing here, we can think about what's been He's been doing in our own congregation here. How about we look to the fall feasts? Well, I would say the fall feasts were preceded by times when we were here, maybe just a few of us here on Wednesday nights praying for revival. You knew this was happening all year. Praying for revival was happening for years, in fact. And then on Yom Teruah, whew, that's where God really began to move, right? The Spirit moved on Hannah Schaefer to share her testimony in confession. She was immersed. We were at the park, right, when all this happened. We were at Sedgwick County Park. We weren't even in this room. We don't have to be in this room for God's Spirit to move. He can move anywhere, but He moves in His people. Following her immersion, we had Zachary and Kimberly Rich who professed their faith. Then Cohen Snell confessed the spirit of violence. Johnny Smith confessed his failings as a husband, and he repented, professing his own faith in Yeshua. Then we had Ray Diltz, Lindsay Diltz, and Sam Diltz confess their faith in Yeshua. And Olga Cano ended up that day confessing her faith in Yeshua, and all nine were baptized in the lake in Sedgwick County Park on Yom Teruah. It was awesome. It was unlike anything I'd ever been a part of to that point. I was like trembling at that day, to be a part of that day. I think John and Annette, who weren't even there, they were like crying tears of joy from Texas. They were, because they were down there dealing with Annette's mom at that point in time, and they were just in awe of what God was doing. And then, but it didn't stop there, right? Shabbat Shuva, 1 week later, Shabbat Shuva, the Spirit was continuing to move here, right? We had a powerful time of confession and prayer. It lasted, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours. It was probably like 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the afternoon. We wrapped up finally. We had more immersions that day, 3 more immersions. Kristen Neal was immersed. And I was like shocked. I was like, no way. She's going, oh my goodness, what is the Lord doing here that she's going to be immersed? That was incredible. Ariel was immersed that day. And we also had Antonia Matias, whom we haven't seen in a few weeks due to all of the COVID restrictions and things like that. But Antonia Matias was immersed that day. And then later at Yom Kippur, we corporately and individually, we humbled ourselves during that time before the Lord. His Spirit's still moving because the Spirit presses us to humble ourselves before Him. In that time, we confessed our sins of commission and our sins of omission. Those things that we often overlook in our lives. And God's Spirit still was moving among us. And then it was 4 days later, we have our first ever 2-day Sukkot campout. 2 days. And we're out there, and we brought the portable mikveh, that little horse tank, and filled it up with hose water, and it was cold. And yet, Seth Swearingen hopped in there, as did Gabriel Castellano, as did Aline Snell, experiencing more repentance, more confession of faith in Yeshua, more restored life into Yeshua. Totally praiseworthy. Amen. It was awesome. It was so cool. It was so cool to be out there. I loved it. I loved it. And then since that time, we have seen God's Spirit continue to move in confession, in repentance, in prophetic words. All of these signs of revival in our community. And then last week, what did we have last week? Last week, we had an important life event occur as we celebrated the Bat Mitzvah by Yeshua of Reagan George. Becoming a daughter of the commandments of Yeshua, and we saw her immersed in the mikveh right back here just last week. By the way, it's still full of water right now. I'm just saying. I'm not saying nothing. I'm just saying. It's still there, just in case. She confessed her faith in Yeshua. It might be your turn, too, this week. So as we consider these events of 2020, the question I have for you today, and the title of my message, as I said, is what has God taught you about himself? What has God taught you about himself? You know, I want to say this because we can get focused on ourselves and say, well, what has God taught me about myself? And what has he unveiled about me? And that's good, but I want to know, what has God taught you about him? I want to know what he's taught you about him. You see, in our circumstances, in our lives, how we respond to the circumstances, whether we rejoice or whether we mourn, whether we're terrified or excited, whether we're busy or staying calm, we can choose to be self-focused or God-focused in those circumstances. In all of these, we can learn a lot about ourselves and others. But I will tell you this, if we have gone through all of 2020 with all of its craziness, and we have not learned something more about God, then we have missed the very point of our relationship with God. If you've gone through all of 2020 and you've not learned something more about God, you've missed the point. I would challenge you to say that you're not really in relationship with him, if that's been you. And I would challenge you that this can be a point today where that can be reversed, where you can confess that and repent of that and become restored in relationship with God today, this morning. You know, every one of us, though, is going to learn different things about God because we're all at a different point in our walk with God. Some here this morning or some listening online, they may still be at the starting gate or awfully close to that starting gate. And the things you're learning about God are very different from someone who has been walking with the Lord for the last 50 years. And that's okay. Okay, that's fine. Because God reveals himself in unique ways to people at different times in our lives based on their experiences and where they're at in their life. So this morning I'm going to invite you to share with the rest of the congregation something that God has taught you about himself in 2020. I don't want you to feel like you have to share something profound. Okay? I don't want you to feel like, you know, sometimes the simplest thing is the very best thing you can share. Okay? Sometimes that's the most profound thing, actually. I don't want you to feel like you can't say the same thing as somebody else. Okay? Because oftentimes God will repeat the same message to multiple people in a group to confirm it. Okay? So it's okay if he told you the same thing as he told somebody else about himself, and you are learning the same thing about him. Please share it anyway. If God spoke to you about himself through his word, please share that verse, that passage that God spoke to you about himself in his word. Please share that this morning. I'm going to share one with you. I'm going to give you a little bit of time to think about this, a little more time to think about this. I want to share with you an example from Scripture. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8 this morning. Open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses is speaking to the second generation of Israelites that have come out of Egypt. These are adults now. They were kids when they came out of Egypt. These are adults that used to be kids when they came out of Egypt. These were kids when God performed the miracles leading them out, when he parted the Red Sea. These were kids, all right? Now they're adults. They're in their 50s or 40s, and because they've been in the desert for the last 40 years of their life. And Moses is reminding them of everything that God has done. He's reminding them of the miracles, and he's reminding them of the commandments that God gave them at Mount Sinai. And in chapter 8, in verse 3, he says, He afflicted you and let you hunger. Then he fed you manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, in order to make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of Adonai. Neither did your clothing wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Now you know in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so Adonai, your God, disciplines you. Okay, so Moses is telling the Israelites that God afflicted them. He let them hunger on purpose. Why? So he could feed them. In their hunger, he fed them. Why would he do this? It says so that they would learn something about God. What were they to learn? So that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of Adonai. They were to learn about trusting in God and his word. He said he would feed them. He told them what he was going to do, and he did it. And they were to learn to trust in his word. And in his word, he would feed them. He fed them physical food, and he fed them spiritually as well. It also said their feet did not swell, nor did their clothing wear out in those 40 years. And again, they're learning that God, a God who would supply their physical needs, also disciplines you in that time, just like parents discipline their children. In this time, they were learning about when God allowed them to suffer some, just as we parents allow our children to suffer some in order to teach them. We don't like to see them suffer. No, we don't. But we do allow them to suffer some so that we can teach them. Maybe you can relate to this. Maybe some of you have suffered some this year in some way, shape, or form. I know many of us have. Has it brought you to the realization that God's word and his discipline are integral to your life? Has your suffering brought you to that realization this year? Because perhaps he was using that suffering to teach you those things. But there's another lesson taught later in this chapter. Just a few verses later, in verse 11, it says, "Take care that you do not forget Adonai your God by not keeping his mitzvot, ordinances, and statutes that I am commanding you this day. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and silver and gold multiplies for you, and all that is yours multiplies, then your heart will be haughty, and you'll forget Adonai your God." You'll forget Adonai your God. "He brought you out from the land of Egypt, from the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness, fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought forth water for you from the flinty rock. He fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, in order to afflict you and test you to do you good in the end. You might say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand has made me this wealth.' Rather, you are to remember Adonai your God, for it is he who gives you power to make wealth, in order to establish his covenant that he swore to you, your fathers, as it is this day. That's all right. My power, you might say, my power and the might of my hand has made me this wealth. Rather, you are to remember that it is Adonai your God, for it is he who gives you the power to make wealth in order to establish this covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. So Moses is reminding Israel, right, that they did not do the powerful things that brought them to where they are that day. They did not do all those miracles. They did not lead themselves through the desert. It was he who gave them all of these things and the houses they were living in. And they're to remember that it's Adonai, their God, who gives them that power. So if 2020 has been a bountiful year for you in your resources, recognize the characteristic of God, who is the one that enables that bounty in your life. It's not you in your own strength. It is God's power and his will that makes this happen in your life. So now, I'm going to turn this over to you. I don't know what God necessarily has spoken to you and taught you all this year in 2020. So I'm going to invite you to come forward now, one at a time. I want you to share with the congregation. And in doing this, I believe you are going to truly bless the Lord, and you're going to bless the rest of us and encourage the rest of us in the congregation by sharing this with us what God has done. What God has done in the sense of teaching you about himself this year. And so I'm going to ask and see if someone wants to volunteer first. I have some that I'll share about myself and what God has taught me this year about him. I have some from John and Annette who have sent theirs to me to share with you this morning. So when the time is right, I'll share those, but I wanted to see if we have someone who would like to come first. Ariel, I'll let you come first. Let me let you use this here.
So first, I have a verse to give to everybody. That verse is Matthew 10:29, which is, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them shall fall to the ground apart from your father's consent. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear, you are worth more than many sparrows. And this year, God really has been teaching me about him, is that he really is the most trustworthy thing ever. He has essentially made me step out into faith, blind faith. There's not even a net underneath to catch me, that I can see. And so as long as we trust in God, as long as we trust that he will do good on his word, which is the most trustworthy word, and we will always be safe in his hands. And so, in teaching me his faithfulness, he has taught me to trust him.
Thank you, Maddie. Yeah, Tony. Come on. Come on down.
Well, one thing I was, when I started to read, Genesis again, there was something that stuck out to me, and it was Hagar and Ishmael's departing, because the verses before it was when Abraham was going, old Sarah, she's my sister, and everybody was giving him, sheep and goats and silver and gold. And then after the departing, he gave, was it Abimelech, or sheep and goats and silver. and all this stuff just to say, I dug this well, but he gave Hagar and Ishmael bread and water. You know, he was a very wealthy man, and I was thinking, you know, that's not Torah. You know, he's not doing good to her. So I called the rabbi. I said, well, that's kind of a interesting place because, you know, all this good stuff is happening to him, but he's just giving her bread and water. And the rabbi said, well, I wouldn't really, you know, lay that fault on him, you know, for, you know, whatever. I don't exactly remember what the rabbi said. But then later, when I was thinking about it, you know, and saying laying the fault, is that, you know, if you lay, you know, faults on others, you know, on, or if you, you know, if you pay more attention to all the negativity that's going on, that you actually miss the goodness of God. Because, you know, God remembered Hagar and Ishmael when, you know, other people were, you know, casting them out. So, and also, you know, like was mentioned this morning on Israel in the wilderness, is that, you know, they were always focused on, oh, we're going to die in the wilderness. We're going to die in the wilderness. That they really missed, you know, how good God is. Which really brought to mind on, you know, what the rabbi, you know, has a sin and brought it into focus on where God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. So that really brought focus to me. But then earlier, I also thought that even if you're stuck in the desert, God will not desert you.
Amen. Thank you, Tony. You're up, Hannah.
You guys,
by the way, I'm sporting a wonderful globe map shirt from courtesy of a Hanukkah gift from Hannah here, because she knows I love maps. And I wanted to wear it. I actually wore it today on purpose, not to show it off, but it was because it's the globe reminded me that there's so much more going on than just right here. And as we were thinking about 2020 and everything going on, I didn't want us to be just focused in our little bubble, but just really wanted to think about like the whole world and then what God is doing around the world as well. So thank you, Hannah, for the shirt.
Next year it'll be the I Love Horses t-shirt. Okay, I kind of a little thrown off by that, but where was I? Okay, so you guys know I don't like being up here, so bear with me. Thank you. Oh, sorry. So God showed me something. I don't know how many of you were here when I showed you guys my flags. He took me to this proverb that I got it, and I was like, I'm going to figure it out. And that's the theme of what I've learned this year. And so I'm going to read it in the beginning. The words of Agur, son of Jakke, an oracle this man declared to Itiel and to Ukal. Surely I am more stupid than any man and do not have a man's understanding. I have not learned wisdom, nor have I knowledge of the Holy One. Who has gone up into heaven and come down? Who has gathered the wind in the palm of his hand? Who has wrapped the waters in a cloak? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is the name of his son, if you know? Every word of God is purified. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or else he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. Oh, I feel like just a teeny bit more. Two things I ask of you. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but feed me with my allotted bread, lest I become satisfied and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I become poor and steal and profane the name of my God. So like I said, I spent a while trying to figure it out. And what I realized, though, in trying to figure it out was that many people believe this is written by Solomon, even though it says someone else's name. And Solomon was the wisest man. And he says, surely I am more stupid than any man when he thinks about the wisdom of God. And I spent a long time trying to fit God into this realistic bubble and trying to understand him through my experiences and through just human laws. If you know me, I like rules. I like there to be logic to things. And it was really hard because I kept searching for him, and all I found was that I am more stupid than any man. And the kids have been, Cohen especially, was always making fun of me because I say all the time, I don't know anything. And it's just been so humbling to realize that I have to stop trying to figure him out. And stop believing that anything is impossible for him. Because I think in our society, we've gotten into this rhythm of normal and what's realistic. God doesn't fit within that definition. Because things have happened to me in the last 4 months that are not realistic. Just having so much faith that something that seems totally impossible that he was telling me that somehow it would be true. So I guess that's it. Just a coworker named Delaney, and she said, so if you picture my life as all these gears working together, how do you fit God in that? And then she stopped and said, well, you just have to tear everything out. And that's really exactly what it is. Tear out everything you think is normal. Because God is not normal, and that's the best part of it. So, I guess that's it.
Amen. I love that. Aline, I think you had your hand raised. Yes, children, God speaks to you and through you as well. Please do not be afraid to share.
Thank you. I wanted to say John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believed in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's all.
And we've seen so many come to believe in him this year, who rejoice now to have eternal life with God the Father. And that's so awesome, because eternal life starts now. During this short little tiny time that we have on earth, eternal life starts now. The kingdom of heaven starts now. And then we get to enjoy the many thousands of years in glory with the Father. Amen. Amen. Yeah, Ashton.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Ashton Pachalski. Some of you know me, some of you don't. You might have heard my name like this mythic phantom, but my name is Ashton, and I'm humbled to be here today in front of all of you. My connection here is Hannah Schaefer. And as well the Snells and their willingness to be graceful and their ever-abundant love. Now, as that local author did once say that Philip brought about, this has been the stupidest year, but yet the most important year. To be honest, there's no way to say it, but this year really is the year that, you know, as a human, I hit spiritual rock bottom, and I realized that I needed something other than whatever I had around me in this material world to really truly save me. I had grown up in a Christian household my entire life, but it wasn't until, you know, I heard one word that really changed my life and got me into gear with the Lord and my own relationship with God, and that word is move. And if you truly want a relationship with God, you are going to have to move and really build that with Him. Mm-hmm. For so long, I had thought this world was built on serendipity, folklore, kismet, or the notion of coincidence. But I now know that good things happen when you call on the Lord and God. And not as well versed, but one verse has always stayed with me, and that's Numbers 6:24. The Lord bless you and keep you. And so far, the Lord has been keeping me and has been guiding me in my journey. So 2020 has been hard, but at the end of it, there has been restoration. And this human layman is working harder than ever to become closer to God.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Ashton. I'll share one of my own. Oh, sorry, Zeke. Yes.
Yes. I would just like to say that one of the things that God taught me this year was how to actually notice what was happening to my family. So what I wanted to share today was my great-grandmother is having problems, and she's getting very sick. She's 84, and she visits us 3 times a week because she has appointments in our town. And so I just wanted to pray that she would get better, and that the Lord would watch over her. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And our God is the God who watches over our great-grandparents and loves them and gives us an ability to love them as well. So that's awesome, Zeke. Thank you. Zach.
I think for me, when Phil asked this question of what'd you learn about God this year, I actually kind of had to think. Because I'll be honest, I have a mindset where I'm geared to kind of respond to the bad very directly. And so this year, first of all, didn't surprise me, and it also, I kind of just hit work mode and responded, because that's just kind of how I am. So I think what surprised me this year was things that God did that I didn't see coming, right? Because I was responding to the bad, and what hit me this year was realizing that God, He really does answer every prayer. Even prayers that we've long forgotten. I told you about some of them not long ago with Hadassah. But He's even reminded me of others. Prayers when I was a child. Prayers that I hadn't thought about. Prayers that maybe I'd come to accept it, that God hadn't answered it yet, and it was just, it's okay. It was His will. But He didn't forget.
We didn't plan this, but the things that God has taught me is about patience, and it comes with the prayers that there have been things that I've longed for most of my life, and yesterday felt like one of the best days of my life. We invited some friends over, and we played games all day, and we started the day in prayer, and we ended the day with a teaching, and I had 25 people in my house, and we talked about God, and we played games, and we had dinner in this beautiful house that we finally were able to buy, and it was one of the best days of my life, and I'm so fulfilled in that. And like my husband said about the prayers that we've forgotten, you know, like Hadassah and her eyes and other prayers from when we were children or whatever, that we're starting to, after 35 years, see the fulfillment of those prayers and just all the others that we hope will come sooner or later. Just the faithfulness to keep praying, the patience to wait for those prayers, to not give up, and to know that even if you forget, he doesn't forget. So he's taught me most this year about being patient and knowing that he's faithful.
Amen. Yeah.
What I have to say is actually so similar to what you guys have to say, so that's why I'm doing it now. But the thing that God really, I knew this already, but you know how God has to constantly remind us of things we already know, is that he's the God who hears. And, but like Hannah said, is God is not normal. He does not hear in this idea of normality. And the scripture that came to mind was from Luke chapter 1, verse 13. And so the context is that Zacharias is in the temple, and the angel shows up with the purpose of telling him that you're going to have a son. And the angel says, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and you and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son." And the funny thing is, in my mind, we know that these guys are old. He's probably thinking, I stopped praying for that 20 years ago. And God is saying, your prayer is heard. It is currently being heard. That God is not hearing in the context of our understanding of time. And so the prayers from our childhood are being heard now. And the prayers that God, or the words that he gave us 13 years ago, are just as if they were now. And so this, that God is not normal, is such a good word. And that God does not hear in our own understanding. But the other thing is that that gives me so much excitement, because I can ask God anything that's totally not normal. And I can, and because he's good, I can know that he can answer it now, he can answer it later, he could never answer it, and it's okay. But I can still ask anything. And I can talk to him about anything, and that he wants to hear us, because he does hear.
Amen. Yes, you can come back up twice, three times. God teaches us a lot, so it's okay.
I guess this is less of something that he's taught me and more of a question for everybody who can hear this, is there anything that our God cannot do?
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's a good segue for one thing I was thinking of. You know, in as the coronavirus emerged this year, I had a lot of thoughts of, well, where did this come from, and is God still in control of the coronavirus? And yes, God still reigns over the coronavirus, and over every other viral pandemic ever, too. You know, I was actually looking at the CDC statistics from the 1918 Spanish influenza that happened, so that was 102 years ago now, and 50 million people around the world died. 50 million in that pandemic, and over 675,000 of those were in the United States. People were dealing with mask ordinances, school closings just like we have now. Preachers were speaking of Armageddon in 1918, of that. And yet, even we haven't experienced nearly that level of suffering here in 2020. And yet God was in control in 1918. He's in control and he reigns now. Whether we live or whether we die from COVID or anything else, we know that the Lord, in the Lord, we will be alive with him. Whether we physically live or die, these bodies are just our shells, okay? We will be alive with him and in him. And that gives me hope. Knowing that God reigns over the coronavirus, knowing that about him gives me hope, because God is a God of hope, and hope is power. Hope is not just this, it's not just this hope in some eternal by and by, okay? This is present hope, present power. It keeps, hope is what keeps people from killing themselves, okay? There's been a lot of depression and suicide this year from isolation. I had a coworker whose father died out of loneliness because he was isolated in his nursing home facility, couldn't see anybody, and he gave up hope for living. But we have hope in our Lord. We have present power, hope in our Lord, and it keeps people going. It keeps our lives going, and it liberates us. Even when we are locked down and quarantined, hope still keeps us going, and hope liberates us. And it liberates us from focusing on ourselves. It liberates us from being fearful in our lives. It liberated me. It liberated me to know that I can continue to love others in the face of this pandemic, to appreciate what so many of our frontline workers are doing too, and that I don't have to be so fearful of it. It gives me hope that I can look back on stories like believers in ancient Rome, that when a pandemic raced through Rome, believers were the ones who went and helped the sick, even when they didn't even know them. And they sacrificed themselves for them, even giving up their own lives by contracting themselves the disease that was racing through the city. Yet they were the ones who were then caring for those who were so sick and stricken in that pandemic in ancient Rome. And it was noted by secular historians how much they loved others around them. And yet, that gave me hope that we can do that today because we know who our God is and that he reigns over the coronavirus and every other viral pandemic. It's one thing I learned this year about God. Another one is that I learned or was reminded that God's word matters and talking to him matters. And that might seem simplistic or that might seem obvious, like, duh, Philip, well, you should already know that God's word does matter and that talking to him does matter. But I learned it more than ever in 2020. I have preached already this year about prayer and about talking to God. And that was something that he really pressed on my heart this year. And his word matters, as I said, with regard to COVID, you know. It doesn't matter what I think about COVID, it's what God thinks, and it's what God says, and it's who God is. You see, I was very unsteady in my thoughts, okay? This spring, I was very unsteady. There was a point as the economy was collapsing and the virus was racing around, there was a night that I was just unable to fall asleep, and I was like breathing heavy, my heart was racing, I felt panicky, and in my unsteadiness, I went to his word that night with my wife, and we got up and we read the word together. Because his word is the rock. And talking to him about it matters, and reading it matters. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24 and 25 says, "The grass withers and the flower fails, but the word of the Lord remains forever." And Yeshua said that God's word in Scripture, in John 10:35, says, cannot be broken. God's word cannot be broken. What God says is true and righteous altogether, it says in Psalm 19:9. His words are sweet and precious. More to be desired are they than gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb in Psalm 19:10. Indeed, they are the sweetness of everlasting life. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. The apostle said in John 6:68. So in our good times and in our horrible times, God's word brings unshakable peace and joy. And he was teaching me that this year. That his words should be like the words in Jeremiah, where your words became a joy to me and the delight of my heart. This is that in Jeremiah 15:16. And because of that, we also know too, another thing that God was teaching me this year was that God has established his kingdom. Okay? Which, again, you're like, you should already know this, Phil. You know, you're not just a brand new believer here, but yet it's reminding me that he's established the kingdom, and God told us many times, Yeshua told us many times that his kingdom is at hand, and yet it's not here completely in its fullness yet. But I was continually reminded this year, throughout the pandemic, throughout the election process, that God's kingdom is not of this world. And Yeshua said this in John 18:36. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Judean leaders. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." And in Hebrews 12, I was reminded of God's unshakable kingdom. In Hebrews 12, 20, I'm going to just read to you from Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12:18 says, "For you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, and to a blazing fire, and to darkness and gloom and storm, and to the blast of a shofar and a voice whose words made those who heard it beg that not another word be spoken to them. For they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. So terrifying was the sight that Moses said, 'I am quaking with fear.' But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the myriad of angels, a joyous gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are written in the scroll in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous ones made perfect, and to Yeshua, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks of something better than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse the one who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused the one who was warning them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns us from heaven. His voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, 'Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens.'" Now this phrase, "yet once more," shows the removal of those things that are shaken. That is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken remains. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude. Through this, we may offer worship in a manner pleasing to God with reverence and awe. For our God is a God of consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. And more than ever this year, I was reminded that our lives can be shaken. My sister lives in Nashville. She was reminded that lives can be shaken yesterday, and that bomb exploded in the morning. It happens, and it's going to continue to happen. God will shake those things that can be removed, the created things. Yet, I'm a part of God's kingdom, and you're a part of God's kingdom. And that kingdom cannot be shaken. Because that kingdom has a calling to seek it. You know, we're supposed to seek God's kingdom, right? Seek first his kingdom. Above any other kingdom of this world, whether it's an entertainment kingdom, or a comfort kingdom, or a power kingdom, or a political kingdom, God will shake those kingdoms. But his kingdom will not be shaken because he reigns above all. And he has established his kingdom. He reigns in the coronavirus. He reigns in elections. He reigns above all. And I can trust in that. And I can trust in him in that. I have some more to share from John and the Net, but is there others who would like to share too? I've been speaking for a little while. Could use a little bit of a break. Naomi?
So I'd like to share that this year God has taught me that he is the Almighty and that nothing is impossible through him. But he also proved it to me through the revival that this congregation is experiencing. And so I thought it was important that I should share that.
Amen. Thank you, Naomi.
I'm sorry. Hi again.
You don't have to apologize.
That's right. I did get yelled at for that, didn't I? This is kind of a hard one to share, which is probably why I waited. This year was really hard for me in a lot of ways, and the funniest part was it had nothing to do with the pandemic. I kind of forgot it was happening most of the time because so much was happening inside me that I just felt like I couldn't look up for some of the time. What led me to where I was on Yom Teruah was that, you know, they say be careful what you wish for. I prayed and I asked God, I said, I was realizing where I was in my life and the choices I'd made, and I said, God, clearly I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't have the discernment to make any choices. And I asked him to just start slamming doors in my face and just start taking things from me. And I really should have braced myself, I think, because he answered that prayer, and I got fired 2 weeks later. I got a new job. In a crazy way, I got things. It was an insane year. It started in 2019, actually. January 2019. And he just, shaking is a really good way to put it. Everything starts falling. And all you have to realize is, what do I have to grab onto? And I realized that I had nothing. That every single thing that I thought was holding me up was falling too. And it seemed horrible at the time. Honestly, it seemed horrible right up until a couple months ago. But I realized that there were some things I needed to renounce. There were some things I needed to let go of. And it really felt like I was ripping something out of myself. And I want to read this verse because it humbled me about 2 months ago-ish. I have no concept of time, so that may be inaccurate. But it's from Deuteronomy 13. For Adonai, your God, is testing you to find out whether you love Adonai, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul. Adonai, your God, you will follow, and him you will fear. His mitzvot you will keep, to his voice you will listen. Him you will serve, and to him you will cling. And then I kind of skip over, because the word cling is a really good word too, because he then talks about cities that have turned to idolatry and how they need to be burned. And it says that nothing should cling to your hand. And one of the things I had to learn about a month ago was how many things were clinging to my hand. And I had a night. If anyone knows me really well, I actually talk a lot, even though I'm really quiet here. And I spent a night almost completely silent. And Arielle was there. Just wave. But I feel like I'm just need to. We all need to ask ourselves, what is leading us away from God? What is our idol right now? Whether it be job security, order, a sense of control, and something. Food. For honestly, I gotta stop eating chocolate. I know what mine was, and he says to burn those idols and that nothing should cling to your hands, because whatever clings to you will grow again, and it hurts. And I just want to encourage you that to let him shake you. Let it fall down. Even though it's really hard, it's hard to fall. Let him do that and know that he is going to build you up into something so beautiful and so amazing and something that glorifies him. That everywhere you go and tell your story, you cannot share your story without mentioning his name. I think that's it, because I'm out of words. So,
Lisa, would you read this for a minute?
All right, from Annette. During 2020, God has reconfirmed his faithfulness to me. With all of the challenges, personal, corporate, COVID-19 restrictions, etc., he reconfirmed that his grace is sufficient. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I must trust in him. I must know, hear, and obey his voice. He will direct my steps. He is steadfast. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness.
I'm going to channel my best Rabbi John. I'm going to stand down here now. Walk around a little bit. My beard's too short, Lisa said. There you go. This is from Rabbi John. This has been such a momentous, sometimes frightening, and yet always hopeful year. It's hard to point to any one thing regarding what God has taught me about himself in 2020. However, if I had to mention just one item of import, it is that of relationship. I learned anew that God is exceptionally relational and that he wants relationship with us, that he pursues us for relationship, and that he wants to have strong relationships with one another. Philip mentioned the number of people whom we all love dearly who have gone to be with God this year. Matthew Prosper, Anna Mae Cruz, Ed Partridge, and Linda Neal, and many of us were also together to remember Paul Aspen's mother, Liz. In each case, there was grief, deep, profound, and poignant. He uses words bigger than me, so. He didn't say it. That's me. All right. We felt the losses. However, I'm reminded we only felt the loss because we had relationship with one another. We also felt profound loss during the time when we could only meet virtually to include during Passover, in which that format simply was not the same. Part of the sense of loss was that Passover was so different, not as rich as we always remembered from our community Passovers. Yet another reason for the sense of loss, perhaps the deepest, was because we were not together. And the relationship without togetherness is not and will never be as deep and meaningful, however hard we work at it. You see, we are created in the image of God and therefore just as relational as He is. So therefore we are. We need relationship, and relationship is most especially practiced together. Lastly, I think of all the ways this year, despite shared challenges, that we together have practiced relationship. In no way am I pretending this is an exhaustive list or that I have captured all of the little or great acts of service each of us has performed for one another and others not yet part of our mishpacha. What a beautiful word that is, family. It is why we are at Remnant of Israel, why we at Remnant of Israel have pulled together and stuck together through the challenges not only of 2020, but of the last 5.5 years I've been here. I think of the countless hours Annette has put in loving each of our people, even in the midst of her own grief and discovered heart condition that has in itself been challenging. I think of Philip and Lisa and all the planning, organization, and time they have put in to bless our mishpacha and make us stronger. I think of Johnny Smith and his willingness to always be available to help our people in need. I think of Ruthie Tapp, who, in the midst of losing her beloved Jim last year, has stayed in touch with many of us, fervently praying for us daily, and has been a consistent source of encouragement to me. I think of our praise and worship team, led by Laura, that is always available for our weekly service, but also for the special life events that are so important for our congregation to remember together, funeral, baby dedications, bar and bat mitzvahs, and many special services as we remember God's goodness and faithfulness throughout the year. I think of Kim Kerwin, who has served us so well to ensure we have a live stream that is seen and listened to by so many people all over the USA and closer to home, and even as he served as an almost one-man show as he directs all of the many activities in the sound booth. We're now blessed to have Seth Swearingen, who's recently stepped up to assist him. I think of our dancers who provide such beauty and joy in the worship to our services. Miguel, who has kept our facilities in good working order. Evangelina, who has faithfully led a home group and serves as our Spanish language translator. And those led by Denise, who have so faithfully ensured the well-being of our children. I think of Gigi, and most recently Lisa, who have faithfully facilitated our Wednesday night Hour of Power prayer meeting. I think of Joe and Zach, who have stepped up to the plate after Myron stepped down after his illustrious 12 years serving Remnant of Israel and taking their places as elders at Remnant. I thank God for our board, myself, Philip, Joe, Zach, Miguel, and Annette, who have worked together in love and in unity and true friendship through the challenges of 2020. And by walking in step with one another in true unity and fidelity to God, and to one another, have been part with God in creating the conditions by which Remnant can flourish. I think of Edie Cox, who so lovingly made numerous gifts recently for our mishpacha. The Busey family continue to serve the poor and indigent. Numerous ladies in our congregation who have begun a Messianic school co-op. And Lisa, with Hannah's assistance, is in the process of beginning a community garden to help the poor, indigent, and lost in our own area. All of us together have worked very hard to build something new and enduring at Remnant of Israel, that the Word of God would shine bright in our hearts and through our service to Him and to the great city around us. So what God has brought home to me this year in the midst of our challenges is the importance of relationship. Let us continue to serve God and love Him with our whole heart, mind, and strength. But let us also remember the most important laws. Love your neighbor as yourself. And let us continue to love one another fervently and passionately, always staying in touch with one another, serving one another, and challenging one another daily to to love God and one another better than we have ever done before. And let us never forget Yeshua's particular command to us, go and make disciples. Ultimately, making disciples is to love the Lord and our neighbor. Indeed, love God and one another, and we will be fulfilling the law of God. This is the heart of God in relationship with him. Shalom, shalom, John. Is there any others who would like to share this morning what God has taught you about himself in 2020? Yes, Maddie, or Hannah, or Ariel. So many name changes around here. Who are you?
God teaches a lot. And he is insatiable. And what that means for those of you who don't know is when he hungers after us, he will not stop until he has all of us. That's every part of us, every part of our heart, every part that we think is secret from him. He will not stop until he is able to take over our entire lives. Until he is a central focus of our day, of our year, of our every second that we are here. He has also taught me that we would not be hungering after him if he didn't want it, us to. We wouldn't even be here in this place. We wouldn't know of him, and we wouldn't know his truth if he didn't want us to. So all of you who have God in your heart, you have God because he wants you to have him.
Is there any others? All right, we're going to go and continue with the Kiddush this morning.